called Jamboree.
Oh, it's called
Red Light on the Wedding Night.
Metaphor. Guys, welcome to Gilmore Guys.
Welcome.
I'm Kevin.
I'm Demi.
And we're
the Gilmore Guys.
Not to be redundant, I left you hanging that time.
Oh, man, that hurts.
The one, what was it? The but one with Husky. You wouldn't even join in at all.
Sometimes I don't play by the rules.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Guys, it's almost like we're three episodes into season two.
You could say that.
You could say that. I mean, it's a little bit like that, depending on your perspective. And there's so much to, because a little behind the scenes info, Demi and I, to put these out as fast as we do, we often record two in the same day.
Right.
Not sometimes always, three. But most of the time. What's that?
Sometimes three.
Sometimes three.
Which is insane.
One day will be four. We'll see. But there's a lot to talk about here. A lot to get into.
This episode's a big one.
Yeah, and we should say too at the top. I know I promised on Twitter, and we promised last time, a very special guest. Do you want to take this? Because you were the one texting him too.
Tom Hanks could not make it here tonight,
No. Guys.
Honestly, I don't know if his excuse is fair because he said they're filming Saving Private Ryan 2, which if you've seen Saving Private Ryan 1, does
spoiler
not make.
Spoiler alert.
I mean, spoiler alert, but it does not make much sense that that movie would exist.
Right. Because they all get, he goes into the alien ship at the end.
Correct.
Right.
And World War II didn't happen again.
Right. So they go back and reverse that.
Right.
So it really doesn't make sense. So maybe it's like a prequel, like Shaving Private Ryan, like he's going through puberty.
It's possible.
Yeah.
We'll find out when it hits theaters in 2016. But until then.
Until then, I think we have a guest that's even better
I agree.
Than that. So let's give her a little intro right now. Yeah, let's do it.
La la, la la. Special guest.
All right, well, you know this woman from such hit shows as Arrested Development, as Curb Your Enthusiasm, and you can see her every Thursday night at the UCB Sunset in Magic To Do.
Right.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Tara Copeland. La la. Oh, yeah.
Oh, this is so cute.
Let's just do this for the rest of the episode.
I can't believe how cute this is.
I wish we could say that that was all planned.
It's so sad that people can't see this part of it because you guys with your la la and your sing, it's
we
just
do dance
adorable.
Around pretty cute.
We
don't
do.
We?
It we're
adorable.
Great.
Yeah.
We're two of the greats. Tara, thank you so much for doing the show.
Thank you for having me.
We're
I have
very
been
excited.
So excited.
Oh, well, we're excited to have you on because full disclosure. I don't know why I say full disclosure like we're saying secrets or telling
but
tales
outside
school.
But you should disclose fully.
Yeah.
It's just, true.
Yeah.
I guess trivia, but we're not going to do the trivia theme song. You are our second mother on the show.
Mother so, from the improv group mother or mother who has a baby
oh,
mother?
Actually, maybe both. Was Kate Spencer on the
no,
group mother?
She wasn't.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
But so just a regular mother.
Yes.
Mother.
Yes.
Who's in mother? Who is that again?
James Eason. I'm not saying because I'm forgetting. I'm just all of a sudden I have to list everyone. Jason Mantzoukas, John Daly, Scott Armstrong, Jessica St. Clair, Christine Walters, Doug Moe, Jesse Falcon. Did I say eight people? Close.
Yes.
Did I do close?
We'll
enough?
Round up. We'll round up. Yeah.
Yeah. Can you fix it in post if I didn't say
we
eight other people
it.
and me? Yeah.
I'll dub it over with
yeah,
my voice.
Yeah, you'll just hear seven or something.
Well, I mean, on that subject, we do hope to round out the mother.
You should get
cast.
You should, two of them are still in New York, so that would be really impressive.
Well, that would be amazing. Well, we might take a New York field trip because Kelly Bishop's up there.
Yeah.
The one who plays Emily Gilmore and Amy Sherman-Palladino and Dan live there too. But also Jason and Jessica, huge Gilmore Girls fans. Not kidding.
Oh, no, I know that. They're super That's one into of the it. Things I know. And in fact, I saw James today and we were talking about it, about Gilmore Girls, because he knew I was coming on. And he was saying, do you remember how into it Jason was back in the day?
And so, like, while it was still on, he was super into it? Like, he would watch it live?
I mean, it must have been, because we were an improv. I mean, when did this show start? 98?
It started in 2000.
Yeah. And we were an improv group from 2000 to 99 to 2010 or something.
Okay, so, yeah, so it was live.
Yeah, it must have been while it was happening.
That's awesome. So what is your personal experience with the Gilmore Girls as a show?
As a show, I never watched it.
Okay.
I had a very strong reason for not watching it.
Mm-hmm.
I was very against it at the time.
Really?
Because I was I was in my early 20s, and I wouldn't want to say offended, because it's not offensive, but I hated the relationship between the mother and daughter. I knew it was about, like, a mom and daughter who are best friends. Mm-hmm. And I kind of knew that the mom doesn't have it together and the daughter almost is the mom. Like, she mothers the mm-hmm. mother. Like, she's together.
Well, especially in these episodes. Gosh.
Well, this episode confirmed everything for me about why I didn't watch it. Yeah. I mean, and at the time, my own parents were going through a really hard time. They're totally back together and great now. But it was, and I had a mom who was kind of falling apart, and I was the one who had my shit together. And so I just was like, I couldn't make, it was like, if you put me on paper at the time, I was so into, like, Dawson's Creek, Felicity, like, you name it, Smallville. I loved all those shows. So on paper, it was like such a perfect show for me. But in reality, I was angered by it.
Mm.
I was like, that is not for me. I cannot get behind that relationship. The mother should be the mother, and the daughter should be the daughter.
It's especially apparent in this episode.
This one was so bananas much. Off. I mean, I'm like so excited to talk about all the whole time I was watching it, I was like, oh, I knew it. Because this is, by the way, the only episode that I've ever seen, because I thought it would be kind of fun to not have any context
for it,
except my own, like, decades-old preconceived ideas.
I mean, it's funny, because you're one of the first guests who has a long history with the show without ever having watched it
It's
before.
True. I had really strong feelings about it.
Would you, like, talk to people and be like, oh, well, that show...
I guess not, but if people were like, you don't watch that, because like I said, like it looks like the perfect show for me back then. And mm-hmm. I would just be like, no way. I'm like living that kind of relationship right now.
So what's
and I
the
don't
want
to watch it be cute or funny. It's not cute and it's not funny.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I have to say, this episode absolutely could, like, there were so many moments where I was like, this would have made me so upset.
Oh boy, well, let's get into it. Let's start the episode the way we start every episode, with a little segment we call Pop
Goes the Culture.
A segment called Pop Goes the Culture.
You guys should see these two guys. Oh, they're so cute.
Oh, we are just, I know. We've never had a guest so in love with the way we look.
I'm in
while
love
doing
with
these
and
segments.
Your little cute attitude. You're just everything. We're
fancy.
We're the Lollipop
fancy boys.
Guild of podcasting.
We're two-thirds of the Lollipop Guild. Pop Goes the Culture. This is our segment where we take every pop culture reference in the show and we edit them together in a supercut.
Shut up. I
listen back
this.
And see if we can make heads or tails of it. So this is episode 203.
Can we be quiet during this, or can we laugh hysterically?
We can laugh hysterically.
We can laugh.
Episode 203, Red Light on the Wedding Night. Pop Goes the Culture.
Kind of like that robot kid in AI.
Billy Jack, I'm going to kill you if it's the last thing I do.
I ordered it from that nice fellow dressed as Joan Crawford.
Life of Brian?
Lord Byron.
Byron and Lewis together again.
We've been completely in sync without the slightly gay boy band affiliation.
Shirley Temple.
Love her.
Sinclair Lewis.
Sinclair Sappy Lewis.
Who invited Monsieur Snicklefritz?
Mussolini it is.
But he was my Burton and I was his tailor. I just wish I could have found a little Mike Todd there in the middle.
And if eating cake is wrong, I don't want to be right.
Yogi Berra type thing.
Yogi Bear?
Like the giant ants in them.
You need to strike Tony Manero?
Yoko and John Lennon did.
Bono, maybe? Brian Ferry?
That Colette biography.
A young Tom Waits?
Well, we are Electra Woman and Dinah Girl.
It's a few Beatles, a Bob Dylan.
Well, it ain't Guy Fawkes Day.
Alanis Morissette.
We could watch Holy Grail on tape again.
Dave Matthews.
Middle Child.
Poor Jan.
Buena Vista Social Club?
Oh, I sat at a table with Janet Jackson and Celine Dion. Very nice guys.
Enya?
I'm gonna hit you.
Oh, my head is spinning, but I can't stop thinking about the fact that you put Mussolini in there as a pop culture reference.
I mean, he's culture, right?
Yeah, any sort
is
of...
Is he pop?
I don't...
Oh, pop, no.
I wonder, culture, because yes. We just put in... I guess it's just references. Yeah. Maybe we should rebrand the segment, because I do put in, like, oh, president,
well,
whatever.
You also put in, if eating cake is right, wrong, I don't want to be right.
Well, that's a song, isn't it?
Is it?
It is. See, this is what I found. See, okay, let's look this up. You guys fill for
no,
time
I
while
love
I look
it.
This up.
I love
this
it.
Is a segment we call Googling This Part Live.
Are we going to talk about all the gay stuff in this episode?
There's a homophobia?
But, is it? I felt very confused by it. Like, she makes the NSYNC gay joke at the very... That's one of the first things that happens.
And then a lot of the time when they go
and
to the club...
And then they're in a drag... bar.
Yeah, and I can't tell if it's like sort of jokingly like, oh, haha, they're out of their element, or if it's straight up like, oh, they feel uncomfortable
but
being
here.
But
they seem to want, they're very excited to be there. Yeah. The only person who's weird about it is the dude.
Yeah.
And then at the end, he's like, really, he stayed all night and danced
Michelle?
With
That's my favorite Michelle moment so far.
Yeah, it's the only
the
time
Janet
we
Jackson.
Ever see him lively.
Yeah, where he's dancing with the Uma Thurman drag dude and the other one on the left. So back to what we were saying, if eating cake is wrong, I don't want to be right. According to this, this is the paraphrase of the song title, If Loving You Is Wrong, I Don't Want to Be Right.
Yeah.
Recorded by Luther Ingram and again by Barbara Mandrell. So...
And again.
Again.
And
just FYI.
The legendary Miss Mandrell.
We'll say pop culture ref,
but
right?
But that's crazy. Yeah. Like, is your point about this that it's absolutely ridiculous how their font of knowledge of things that, like, she's,
oftentimes.
How old is she supposed to be?
She's
15? 16?
She would be 16 or 17. Yeah.
And
right
she's
now.
Literally, 16, like, so glib and she's so smart and sarcastic and she knows, like, for some reason in
Sinclair
her back
Lewis.
Pocket. Yeah, right? Like, Mussolini.
She reads a lot, but at the same time.
She loves books, man.
She loves Holy 16. Grail, which was also all my high school friends. So some of that rings true.
Yeah, that makes sense.
To me.
Life of Brian.
Yeah.
But the Billy Jack stuff, too, that's super bizarre.
Yeah. I mean, pretty much all they watch is old movies. Like a few episodes ago, they were watching Barbarella. But it's
and the Donna Reed Show.
Yeah. They have a weird obsession with older things, which I think is their way of being like, see, it's not unrealistic for them to know all
this
stuff.
To talk the way they talk.
Yeah. Right.
It's got a very, like, what Reality Bites feel to me, that sort of sarcastic, glib, over-knowledged, impossible way if people don't talk that way. But it was so popular in the 90s, the idea that people talk that, like that whole, it's almost like I said to my husband, it's like Clueless without the camp. You know how in Clueless they had a lot of that talking that way where, you know, or even like Heathers had, like those are way older movies, but they had a lot of that really snarky, too much knowledge, too many references.
Right,
but
which is funny because
campy.
Heathers is a reference point for this show a lot.
Oh, really?
They'll reference Heathers. They've done it a few times
at
least.
Have they already? Have I missed it? Because Heathers is one of my favorite movies.
I believe they did in the first season. Oh. I'm not making it up.
I didn't watch the first
You're the new
season.
Heather. Oh, she says you're in the new Heather.
Right.
Lorelai
Probably
does.
To Paris.
To Rory.
Okay. Interesting.
Anyway.
But you know how they have that like glib way, sort of catchphrasey way of talking? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It reminded me of that so much. But so fast. You know, and everyone talks that way.
In these two episodes particularly, I hated how fast it was. It was just like...
It was too damn fast for you?
It was too much.
Yeah.
Because...
two episodes, by the way, we're only talking about one, but these two episodes, 203 and 204, that we're recording today, they're both written by...
Daniel Palladino. I noticed that on the opening. But yeah.
So...
I love that you guys are like into Daniel Palladino. Who is he?
So, Amy Sherman Palladino wrote and created the show.
Yeah.
Love.
And she wrote the pilot and she's wonderful. Her husband Daniel is also a very talented writer, but he's kind of her, I don't know, like this is why I want to have
he's
them on the
Yoko.
Show. I want that's a funny reference right there.
Maybe.
Perhaps.
Can we have a supercut of references dropped in this episode?
Just to Yoko.
Yeah, just the Yoko.
There's been two at least. But yeah, he writes with her, and from what I understand about the process, I could be totally wrong, but they would like, they had a writing staff, but kind of like how Sorkin does on his shows or David E. Kelly does, the writing staff kind of does the stories and then either Daniel or Amy will take a pass at those scripts. I could be totally wrong, but from what I understand from like interviews they've done and stuff and other interviews with
writers on the show. So do they get most of their writing credit for most episodes
as a result? Yeah, they do. But then the ones where there are credits, there are episodes where the credits are just like written by Jane Espenson.
Right.
Even though she complained like one time, oh, I didn't get to write the dialogue on that show. But she still got sole writing credit.
Well, okay.
So they weren't like...
she wrote enough of the story.
Right. So they weren't like catty about it, I guess.
You know what it occurs to me? It also kind of reminds me of something like Juno.
Yeah. Well, we call it proto-Juno. Yeah, it's like Diablo Cody-esque.
Yeah.
To me, I like this way better than Juno.
Juno's like
I'm
the
very
prequel
biased
to this show. Like,
in a way, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it is, because mm-hmm.
she's a teenage pregnant teenager.
Whoa.
Oh, maybe this is, maybe she's Lorelai. Maybe it's her story.
Maybe it's like the Marvel Cinematic Universe. It's all connected.
She moved towns and changed her name. I'm done with that Juno stuff. I'm Lorelai now.
After the credits, you see Nick Fury come in.
Yeah.
We're going to need you in Stars Hollow. But there's an Independence Inn. Let's also, before I forget, got to refer to my notes, talk about the Netflix synopsis for this episode, which are always so bad.
What did it say? I didn't even read it.
They've been so bad, too.
They
just
spoil
recently.
The episode. They just miss like key parts of the episode if they don't spoil it. And the worst thing about it, I realized while I was watching this, if you pause the episode, the Netflix synopsis comes
up. It comes up. So if you're in the middle of it.
Yeah, if you pause in the middle of it, it's ruined.
Yeah, you're screwed, bro.
It's so dumb.
So the synopsis is during a wild bachelorette party.
It was pretty wild. Her mom was there.
It was crazy, man.
I love that her mom was there. We'll talk about that.
I do too.
During a wild bachelorette party, Lorelai impulsively calls Rory's father, Christopher, which gives her second thoughts about marrying Max.
That threw me for a loop, that phone call, as someone who's never seen an episode. Yes. I can talk about that when we get to it.
Oh, sure.
I was about to ask, are there any things in this episode that you were very confused about having not seen?
Yeah, we'll clear up right now.
No, but so can I? So when we first saw Luke.
Yes.
Well, so for the very first thing I said, the very first thing I said to my husband when the show started.
Did you guys watch it together?
He watched the first part of it with me.
Okay.
And then he left the room. He couldn't do it.
Right.
I said, she's not going to marry whoever she's about to marry. That's the first thing I said.
Which is clear to all of our guests who have never seen the show, that they have the chemistry of like a turkey sandwich and
a plank
of wood.
He's not even on the show yet. She and Rory are just cake tasting.
Oh,
and
gotcha.
I turned to him and said, she's not going to marry whoever Max is.
Yeah.
And then the next scene, I think Luke is in the next scene. And I go, oh, she's going to end up with that guy. That was what I thought.
But do they end up together?
I don't know. But then the phone call to Christopher kind of threw me for a loop because I was like, wait, who is this? Her chemistry with this guy is, there's clearly something going on here. She's going to end up with him. And then when I found out that he was the dad in the next scene, I was like, I don't know. And then Luke delivered the chuppah and they did that scene where they fade out while they're standing under the chuppah. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm back to being right.
Well, it's interesting,
she's
though.
She's
going to
marry the grumpy guy.
Even as a new viewer, you've really identified a core tension of the show, which is Lorelai and Christopher.
Yeah.
Luke and Lorelai.
Yeah.
And that continues through the entirety.
Luke and Laura, by the way, the General Hospital couple for generations.
Oh, do you think that was probably based off of that?
No, I don't know. It might be just coincidence.
Maybe not, because there was a General Hospital ref in last season.
Oh, funny.
From what I understand. I don't think there's anything they haven't referenced on this show.
Yeah.
Unless it occurred
in the future.
In the future.
Although, if that would be pretty insane.
Yeah, if they were like Jay-Z.
Let's talk about the...
I don't know. He's probably not even in the future in 2000.
No, there's a Jay-Z reference in season 6.
That wasn't a good future reference.
Or if it's like, I hope Kanye West starts rapping.
Yeah, I hope...
That's a slight future.
Oh,
that's
what?
Also not.
Oh, Obama.
That'd be amazing.
Yeah.
There, that would be really
that's season
crazy.
7.
Oh.
That's true.
I hope that our 44th president is a black person.
Oh, funny.
Yeah.
But I listened to a little bit of the first podcast, and you don't count season 7, from what I understand.
No, not really.
Honestly,
people are asking us to watch it just for the podcast now.
That's, honestly, I kind of want to, too.
That's a win.
When we get to season 7, I want to watch it and just tear it
apart. You're saying season 7 just for the podcast?
I want to watch all of it just for the podcast.
Ooh.
That, I count that as a win.
Yeah.
We've made a Gilmore Girls convert for
even
the sheer
begrudging.
No, not for them, for you.
For us.
Yeah, no, even if it's begrudging.
But
and
you guys, have
you
talked about how Lauren Graham is now like typecast as this weird Like, young, cool single mother. Mom.
Well, yeah, I mean, cool. I guess.
I love that you think
she's cool. The cool mom.
No, I mean, I'm saying, when I say cool, I know that I was doing a motion of someone on a surfboard, like a stereotypical cool, quote, not unquote. Genuinely. Yeah,
yeah. Demi was doing something really
Demi
cute.
Demi thinks that she's cool.
Adorable.
He thinks that she's cool.
I think she's cool.
I mean, she's not cool, is she? On this show? Well, let's talk about it.
Yeah.
How did you enjoy it just for the sake of its own, just watching an episode, totally out of context, with 10 years plus of a grudge?
No, I mean, it's just so much.
It's
pop culture stuff, the way they talk, the pigtails,
the way that
her daughter mothers her. It just still rubs. I mean, and I'm like so many years past that being a problem or being something that maybe I'm not. Maybe this was therapy for me. But just like the daughter, when she comes into her bed and says, "There's a boy. What are you doing? What are you doing?" And she's asleep. And then she's like, "I'm asleep. What do you want? There's a boy in my bed." I was like, "Oh my God."
Yeah. That was rough.
She
acts
very like purposefully childish a lot, and Gambino. It's always frustrating.
Well, and she literally was like, "You need to go back to your room, Mom." And she's like, 10 more minutes." Okay, 10 more minutes. I mean, it was just too much for me.
It is so funny that it was just a scheduling thing. We did not pick this out. Tara's going to love this episode.
Yeah, yeah.
It was just like, 203 is next. Do 203.
Right.
But this is by far the most mothering that I would say, right?
For sure.
But it has to be, right? Because ultimately, that's the reason that that's the problem she and Max have, which is how you're raising your daughter and where do I fit into your right, like, you let her do whatever she wants, what do I do if I want to parent her, essentially,
right? Which
and
is a legit point.
Oh yeah. And Lorelai's like, she doesn't need a parent, like pretty literally that's what happens.
She said,
like,
Rory's done.
Yeah,
she's not done. And I wonder,
she's 16 and she believes that she's done.
Yeah,
that's the problem with her as a parent, because you're never done. You guys,
come on, give it to us, Tara.
I want my mom to put me in a timeout.
I kind of disagree.
You
with
think
what?
I don't think she's done, but I think she's 16. I think she doesn't need a dad. She's like 2 years away from being out of the house.
She doesn't.
That's a different conversation, though, and they don't get into that conversation.
Right, but I thought that's what she was suggesting, was saying she's done. Like, I didn't think it was very genuine for Max to be like, "What? I need to be her parent too," because like, she's gone.
But I don't think he was. I think he was saying, "What do I do?" And she was like, "You don't do anything." Because, P.S., I don't do anything.
Yeah,
yeah. I guess
right.
That was
it wasn't
much
really
it.
Like
yeah.
You don't do anything because she doesn't need a dad. It was like, she doesn't need parents anymore.
Right.
And instead it was like,
insane.
But I do. Because
she had to deal with me for the last 16 years of her life.
Yeah, she learned.
But Lorelai needs parents.
She does.
Very
she
much.
Refuses them.
Yeah.
Well, she hates her mom.
Did you like Emily? She only had one scene this episode, but Emily's the mother. Emily's Lorelai's mom.
I mean, sure.
Yeah.
She's that
I always
quintessential.
Ask every guest, like, did you like her?
She's that quintessential, like, of course she hates that mom. She's wearing like a business suit to a drag club.
But
she's there.
Yeah, and you know what? This was...
And by the way, she learned the lesson of her life from her mom, which is that Max isn't right for her. Her mom is the one who led her to that, even though she didn't directly sit her down and say,
"Yeah,
I don't think you should marry him."
I love that.
But the thing I remember most was that for the entire week before my wedding, I'd wait till my mother went to sleep, and I'd sneak out of bed, and I'd put on my wedding dress and my tiara and my gloves, and I would stare at myself in the mirror and think how very safe I felt, how very right and wise and honored. This is very good drink. I highly recommend it.
It wasn't Emily chewing Lorelai out or being super passive aggressive and be like, "Well, you're throwing your lifeline, blah, 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 blah."
Right.
Yeah.
But it was like, "Oh, I loved Richard so much. I'd try on my wedding dress. I was so stoked for it."
And then everyone else in the room was affected by it except for her.
Yeah, and she had to feign it. Yeah, Rory got on her little AOL pager.
Oh my God, that was insane. I couldn't tell if that was product placement or just like true to life at that time.
Maybe.
Honestly,
pretty
everything
true to life.
They say could be product placement. Like,
that's true. Mussolini needs a big boost.
He does.
Yeah.
Mussolini.
Well, I mean, we open with... Do we even do it chronologically anymore?
No.
Because we've been trying to be like...
Sorry, I'm jumping all over the place.
No, but this is the best conversation, because then we're not like, and then what happens? Oh, yeah, this happened.
But just that first scene when Lorelai's wearing pigtails, I was like, ugh, I'm already done.
Her fashion all over the board is insane.
She Wait. Shows the belly. She wears the pigtail. She's the daughter.
Is this? Should we open up the fashion report real quick?
I think we should.
Okay.
Fashion. Oh, we had the guest join.
That was incredible. That was great.
You know, you're working with a musical improv. I try
to jump on board with you guys when you do this weird shit.
Oh, well, get ready because there's going to be a lot more to jump on board with coming later. Fashion report. Max's pants, are they like overly big? This is one thing I noticed. Like when he was home and even on the date, they just seemed real puffy.
It's symbolic of how he's a clown.
He's such a square in this episode.
Yeah, he started looking like when he first was introduced, he looked like Al Pacino in The Godfather. And he slowly just
Wait, what
becoming,
was it? It,
like,
was,
less...
it was a cross between Al Pacino and someone else.
David Schwimmer?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
I don't know.
David Pacino.
David Pacino.
Pervert!
How long has she been dating Max? How many? Did he come in the first season?
He was...
like episode
question.
Five.
But yeah, he was... yeah, he was midway through season... Or no. He was beginning of season one, basically.
Yeah,
so she's been with him the whole time. Yeah.
It's about a full season's length.
Yeah, but they've only, in real time, been dating for like...
Well, because
Six
doesn't
months,
she say that they broke up and then they got back together and it got intense really
And he
fast.
Proposed over the phone.
And then got her 10,000 yellow daisies.
100,000 yellow daisies.
Yeah, to fill a room. And that was his way of proposing. And he wasn't there when the flowers arrived. He just sent them and called and was like, hey.
Yeah, stop.
Do you want to marry me?
Yeah, so bad.
And then he fell asleep on the couch during their favorite show of all time. Yeah. So you know he's not going to fit in.
This entire episode was basically their way of going, like, you can tell Max isn't right for this family.
But even still, like, it was going that way, but he made reasonable points in all the conversations, I feel
this
like.
This family needs a Max, and they just don't know it. I felt, like, good about Max.
No, that's
I felt
the thing.
Bad about Lorelai.
I think Max is a sane person and Lorelai is insane, but that scene with Dean and Max where Dean is like explaining the rules sort of sets that in my mind where it's like, oh, we love Lorelai and Rory, but when you look on the outside, like from a real point, like they're insane.
Well, you have to be willing not to fit in.
Exactly.
You have to be like an outsider in
These
their
are the
weird
hijinks.
Shit.
Yeah,
exactly. The only time when Max, when he called her selfish, that was the moment where it was like, he's right and he's wrong. You know what I mean? It was so mean.
Yeah.
And it was out of nowhere. It was out of nowhere.
The point was good, but the execution was bad.
And that's the only time that he did something that was like, oh, they're in a fight.
Right.
But you knew they were just wrong for each other because she's done and doesn't need a parent.
Yeah.
You know?
All fully formed. When they go on the date, I feel like Rory is dressed like a mom.
Is she
that cardigan?
She is, and then Lorelai's showing
some
belly.
Oh, this actually serves your point.
That's my whole point.
I just thought about
that. And you have Rory's boyfriend giving Max advice on how to date Rory's mother.
Mm-hmm. Some Benjamin Button shit. I don't like this at all.
Benjamin Button.
I mean, it is exactly my point, which is that she's the mom. And the mom is the kid.
Yeah.
You know?
She's wearing like a comic book dress through a lot of the episode too. It's just like this like nice dress, but then it's just patterned with like panels that go like wham and pow and bam.
Oh, funny. I
and
didn't
it's so
that.
90s, but also just so
comic
I don't want to say tacky,
nerd.
But it's like
you can say tacky.
Yeah, it's kind of tacky. But I mean, it's weird to say it's tacky, but it's just very strange.
I hated that shirt that Dean was wearing on the date too. I don't know what the fabric that
it was
made
really
of.
Baggy.
It was really baggy. But
Dean does not dress well for dates.
But he's a nerd, right? They're nerdy. They're nerdy kids. They're like Holy Grail kids.
I don't. Well, Rory's nerdy.
I don't think they ever paint Dean as nerdy because they're always just
they
like.
They just paint him as lame as shit.
Yeah, he doesn't do well in school, so he's not like study nerd, and he's not really into like comic books or something, so he's not like nerdy nerd. I don't know. He's just kind of there.
But like a perfect date for them is to watch Monty Python again.
Right.
Yeah, you know, but like, I don't know if that's a nerd thing. I don't know.
It's
Maybe.
Not a cool kid thing, right? Don't the cool kids go to parties and drink beer?
I watched Monty Python. I was pretty cool.
Was,
my friends
cool.
did too, but my friends also didn't drink and we didn't smoke pot and we didn't do any of the things that like the cool quote-unquote kids did.
Well,
like they're not going to parties. All the things that Max is worried that Rory's going to be.
She doesn't
She's
do.
Not going to do. Like, yeah, you don't have true. To worry about that. That's not who she is.
Mm-hmm.
What if she shows up drunk?
Yeah, that was an interesting hypothetical. Yeah. Like, Rory comes home.
But it's true. She's 16. Like, that's not a bad reference point for a 16-year-old, is it?
It's
like,
not, but for Rory, it's...
Isn't it so funny how comical we find it, though?
Yeah.
Like, Rory getting drunk. But like, maybe that we share that perspective.
Part of the point is that he doesn't get... He just doesn't get them. Like, right. Everything is like, he doesn't fit in. He doesn't get us. He doesn't fit in.
Yeah.
Like, even just ordering breakfast... He has to look at
Oh my
menu.
That was such a
that scene. Oh my gosh.
There's a I was going to say that I hate this episode because of how weird it was, but there are a lot of moments where putting Max in the situation of the Gilmore family makes me realize that Max is like the ultimate straight man in this episode.
Yeah.
And then everyone around, he's in this bizarro world where everything has to slow down because like that scene is great where he's just like, oh, I have to take a look at the menu. And they're just like flabbergasted that he'd have to do that.
And they're so drama about it too. Like, oh, well, I guess I'll wait then. Oh, I guess I will
Luke
too.
Luke gets
and
so sad.
Ugh, he's so sad. Early.
I don't know if we're out of the eggs.
Although I will say that Max needing to read 3 different papers did seem like overkill.
That was overkill. While we're sitting at breakfast together.
Yeah, yeah. Just go to the Huffington Post, bro. It's all there. So I think that's been the fashion
report.
Look at
your AOL
right?
phone.
It has been the fashion report.
Fashion. Wow, we nailed it. Good fashion report, guys.
For those of you at home, Kevin did a little jazz hands at the end there.
Ta-da.
Fashion.
Oh, boy.
Cake is the glue of the wedding.
Even that first scene. Are we to believe that Lorelai is just sampling all these cakes with no intention of buying them from Fran? Like, that's just the act of a
selfish
person.
Oh, because they say she's getting a free cake, right?
Yeah, she's getting a free cake from Suki. Which we'll hear more about in the next episode.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Suki.
Did you? Suki. Oh, do you just say
True
Blood?
True Blood reference.
I know. Sometimes when we have guests on, they say it like that, like Suki. Bill, like Suki. Suki. Yeah, without even. Did you like Melissa McCarthy in this role?
I mean, I love her. What are you going to do? Yeah. I dream of being her every day of my life.
Oh,
so
Melissa McCarthy.
I dream of being Melissa McCarthy every day of my life. Or being with her. She's married, though.
Is she? Oh, yeah. To
a guy that guests on this show later in
Does
the...
Does he really?
Yeah. Later in the...
Do you think they were married when he was on the show?
I'll have
or...
to look it up. I don't know.
I hope they met on the show.
That'd be amazing. Gilmore Babies.
Gilmore Babies.
Mm. But poor Fran, who's being so sweet. Fran's the woman that owns the cake shop.
Yeah, the old lady.
For the pastry shop.
Oh, yeah.
Shop. And they're just like... like... From the
you don't look
moment,
a day over 106.
Yeah, well that, and then just from moment one, they're painting Lorelai as like this crazy woman child.
Well, but she's also tasting cakes with her daughter and not her fiance. So it's like, who are you marrying?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even think about
either.
That because we've never had to taste cakes.
I taste cake all the time
because Demi and I have never been engaged
to
each other.
I feel like I mean, I love that. It's so, your perspective is so welcome. I think that you also have such a guy's perspective on so much of it that
well,
I'm like.
Well, that's kind
of
what this show is about.
Right.
Gilmore
exactly.
Guys just throwing out.
But when I'm like, ooh, that really bothered me, I feel like you guys are like, oh. Like, I bet.
Yeah, we're teachable. We're open to being completely dumb. Which I feel like we are most of the time, and someone just
but
throws cold water on it.
Don't plan a wedding in 2 weeks. So
well,
they're just
that.
Getting married really fast?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, but I mean, I guess, but even with, because they're doing it at her house and Suki's doing the cake and the town's probably donating everything for free like they did for the shower.
Because the town just loves, like, the town will drop everything for Lorelai, which is insane.
Yeah.
Stars Hollow.
Do you want to talk about Stars Hollow?
Stars Hollow.
At the Stars Hollow.
One thing more at the cake shop.
Yeah.
Lorelai drops her first reference of the episode. I don't remember what it was, but immediately the woman at the cake shop just goes, okay, and walks away.
Yeah.
That's
Fran
when she
was
makes
great.
The NSYNC reference.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the slightly gay boy band. Slightly homophobic. Is that homophobic?
Well, that's
I don't
the thing.
Know.
I felt homophobia from that. And then later when they went to the drag bar, I was like, oh, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they're progressive.
No, I'll say this much. They're not very progressive in the show. Because
not up to this point.
We've called them out on a few things so far.
Yeah, and we've really stuck it to them.
Yeah, we've really
you're
this show is going down. No, like there's been a few episodes so far where they'll just have like a moment where it's like, oh, you're playing that ball real gay or something like at a baseball game. And it's just weird.
What's the line? You're playing that ball real gay?
No, I don't know.
You know what would be interesting is to find out when Lance Bass came out of the closet as compared to when this episode happened. Because if he's not out yet, It is literally just like calling five straight guys gay, which is not right.
Yeah. That, well, no, that he's not out yet because this was October 2001.
Yeah, he didn't do it till like
08.
Yeah, it was September
27th, 2008. Yep,
that's what it was.
I was like,
he's not even Googling
it. Very
the day that will that.
Yeah, we'll say that.
But that changes things a little bit, right? Because as far as anyone knows, none of those guys are gay.
Right.
By the way, Justin Timberlake. Don't make fun of Justin Timberlake.
No, he's very not gay.
Mm. Not that making fun
he's
of
incredibly
not, that it's,
not gay.
Not that it's making fun
on
of someone to call
one?
Them gay. Because that is actually a compliment.
So shame on you, Paladinos.
Yeah.
By the way, if you're listening, Amy, we love you. Come on the show. Anytime.
But also, let's talk about some things, Paladinos.
Yeah, let's talk. Yeah,
what
let's
do they
get
do
into
now?
It.
I got some bones.
Homophobia, racism. Not
Mussolini.
Racism.
Why you got to go after Mussolini?
Yeah.
Yeah. What did he ever do to you?
For whatever reason, that scene too with
he
the quotes on the wedding invitations was so interesting. And that was one of the first times when it was like, oh, the daughter's the mother, and the mother's the daughter.
Yeah. I mean, and so clearly in this episode. Like, I'm not kidding. Like, it's not like...
Isn't
it's not always
more,
that bad.
Like,
it's
Rory
not
is
that
more
bad,
planning
usually.
This wedding than Lorelai
it
is.
It feels like.
It's kind of embarrassing.
Well, oh, Rory seems to really want her to marry Max.
Oh, yeah. More so than she clearly does.
Yeah, it's kind of her dream that's being torn apart more than Lorelai's.
Which is...
Oh,
do
it's
you
like
think
a parent trap.
A oh, my God, it is.
But a parent trap that ends with a sad ending.
Yeah, where they're sitting at that sad stoplight.
Yeah, the metaphor, guys.
By
it's
the
like
way,
the red.
But you know that stoplight right in front of Luke's.
Yeah.
What sort of town doesn't have any stoplights?
Who not? Well, the
crosswalks.
WB town doesn't. WB town
that,
doesn't.
That was the moment where I was like, okay, they're not even pretending to not be on the WB line anymore. Because all we've seen of the town is this one like single block where everything just happens to be.
Right.
But then they'll be like, oh no, we're going to this place, and it's not there, but. It's clearly all in the same like square, so
right.
They're like for them to be like, oh no, yeah, we don't even have any crosswalks or stoplights. We almost had an accident for 10 years. I was like,
well, it's a symbolic town, right? It's a tiny little town where everyone knows each other. It's like Mayberry.
Yeah,
are they in Connecticut?
They are.
And then they went for her bachelorette party to Hartford.
Which just seemed to be like a block down from Luke's.
But they say it's like 30 minutes away sometimes.
Hartford?
Yeah.
Hartford is 30 minutes away from Stars
Hollow. But
they
go between the two like it's literally across
the like it's
no
one's business, sure.
Which is insane.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
It's like if I were to drive down to like Venice every day, which I guess
which you couldn't
do.
Even do. I mean, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Speaking about the traffic, like that scene where they're unveiling it, where Luke throws a coffee filter at Taylor's head and compares him to Hitler.
Luke is out of control. He goes crazy for the stupidest things.
That might have been my favorite. Was it my favorite scene of the episode?
It was
one of them.
Yeah.
It was yours because then you get to see the townies. You get to see Babette, Sally Struthers, Maury, who had my favorite. I think he had my favorite line of the episode. He said, I hate being infantilized.
yeah.
So good. Miss Patty.
Babette had my favorite line in the episode, which is when she's talking to Lorelai and she goes, put your hand down a man's pants for me. And Lorelai goes, oh, I hope you mean a stripper. And she's like, whatever.
Yeah, sure.
Whatever.
She said, I would kill to have Miss Sally Struthers on this show.
Oh, I was like, what is that voice you're
oh,
doing?
Oh, no, I didn't mean
Ooh,
to.
I would kill, man.
He just got real serious.
Hey, yeah, guys. He did. He
well, because it. In case she's listening, hey, Sally.
We love you.
Come
on
the
show.
Do you have Sally's number? Can you text her?
No.
Okay. All right. I'll bear like next time.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Now, unlike anything I've ever talked about on the air, I actually stand by Squarespace. I actually do because I've used it for everything I've made. Literally, GilmoreGuysShow.com, the very website for this very podcast, was made using Squarespace. How beautiful is that? KevinTPorter.com, I made that using Squarespace. My old bake shop website, that was made using Squarespace. Because you can do it all with Squarespace. You can sell content on your website. So exclusive stuff behind a paywall. You can sell memberships, courses, or sell files your customers can download like PDFs, music, or eBooks. You can do that with Squarespace. You can do analytics with Squarespace. So you can figure out who's visiting your website and why. And figure out how to get traffic and where's it coming from. You can also have people do flexible payments on Squarespace. Make checkout seamless for your customers with simple but powerful payment tools. Accept credit cards, PayPal, Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer customers the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and ClearPay. How nice is that? You can also do email campaigns, so there's constant outreach for your stuff and people know where to find you. So I'm going to let you know where to find Squarespace. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/GilmoreGuys to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain. That's squarespace.com/GilmoreGuys. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now let's talk about your social battery. Maybe right now it's bursting at the seams with energy. Maybe it's a little drained. Maybe you're one of those people like my friend with their phone battery that keeps it 2% all the time, even when they stay home all day. And they definitely could charge up if they wanted to, but they don't. Well, regardless of where it is, it's important to understand why it is the way it is. Why is the battery low when it gets low? Is it because you're feeling less social? Is it because you're feeling sad? Is it because of emotions you've yet to identify? Or maybe just boundaries you haven't set for yourself yet? Either way, it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you? How do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, maybe you don't. Maybe you need a little more alone time. Well, either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. This is so important because I've been in therapy for 10 plus years, for some would say, technically, 11 years this month, and it's helped me so much understand where I get my energy from, how I use my energy, how to better use my energy, and how to maintain things in a way that's sustainable and healthy and good. And that's to do, of course, with boundaries, but also just understanding who I am and what I want. And I couldn't have done so much of that work without therapy. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/GilmoreGuys today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/GilmoreGuys.
Oh, I wrote so many notes about the conversation between Max and Dean. I think it was just a very important scene. I think this entire episode, I'm going to rate highly when we get to that, because just the idea of Max being like the audience and being like, no, you have to realize this is insane. Like, you love this person, but they are crazy.
Yeah, I wonder if Dean just has like Stockholm syndrome.
Oh, he might. He might have some serious Stockholm
syndrome. Get used to it. Yeah, they bring the food in at like 9 a.m.
Did you tell her what your favorite ice cream was? Yeah, chocolate chip. Chocolate chip? It's like, whoa, my God.
Pleasantville. And I think it's actually a funny idea that Dean, after dating Rory, for, you know, whatever it's been now that they're on again, probably like around a year now, whatever it's been, that he's like the Jedi master. He's like, okay, well, you got to do this, and you got to do this, and you got to handle it
he
this
gets
way.
Them.
But I hated that it was him. I hated that it was Dean that was, just because he's like, well, let me tell you how things go. I just don't like Dean having any sort of power at all whatsoever.
You hate Dean.
I hate Dean. Don't you hate Dean? Don't you hate his...
I had no feelings about Dean.
His haircut?
I think that's ultimately how I feel about Dean. And that's the problem, because I feel like I should either like him or just be like, Rory, get a new guy.
And you nothing him.
Yeah. He's just there, and when he gets off the screen, I forget he exists.
That scene with him and Max was just like, oh, of course, if she's the mom, then Dean's the dad,
right?
I mean,
wow, you really, yeah, you're,
it's like
shedding a lot of perspective on this.
I'm real serious about it.
Yeah, well, I mean,
I didn't have that scene in the beginning where she's walking with Dean and they're holding hands. It was, they are very awkward together.
Yeah. Were they both holding hands, you mean?
No, just in the very, when they're talking about Holy Grail and what should we do tonight. And do you know the very first scene where he's in?
Yeah. And I think they have chemistry, but I think it's weird chemistry.
It's
not chemistry
it's
I want to take.
Maybe it's teenage chemistry.
I think that's what it is. It's a chemistry that I'm just like, I don't care if I feel weird seeing this, like two awkward teenagers. Whereas like, if it's Lorelai and Luke, it's just kind of like they have chemistry, but also it's fun to watch because they're flirty.
Yeah, very fun. I mean, they have pronounced chemistry in this one.
Yeah.
He's a sweetie in a way that he has not been so
when
explicitly.
When he makes her that hoopa.
He makes the hoopa.
Yeah.
It's
oh,
very
I just
sweet.
Had some extra time.
Yeah, to carve a... like, you would have... Yeah, you'd have to be mental to have...
And also, I just imagine
time.
If she broke off the engagement before that and he drops that off, she's like, oh, I don't need this. I'm not getting married. She's like, oh, okay. No, that's fine. I mean, I have this.
They'll use it later for their around. Own wedding.
Yeah. We'll
Do
use
they?
It ourselves.
I don't know. Maybe. I've seen it. Demi has
I know,
it.
I know.
He keeps doing these weird...
I know that.
Stay tuned.
And I'm just like, no, I'm pretty
you know
sure they're going to get
do?
Together.
Wikipedia.
Don't. No, he's not going to spoil it.
No, I know he won't. That
I know. Kate Spencer,
the whole podcast.
Kate Spencer really enjoyed reading ahead and being like, oh, well, in season six. Well, then
sometimes
she'd only seen four
I do.
Of it.
But for this, I feel like it's my duty to not look ahead.
No, it's your duty,
bro. It's your job. It's literally your job. You're getting paid millions of dollars for this podcast.
Yes. Full disclosure, I'm a billionaire now.
Oh, yeah. By the way, we're brought to you by Squarespace.
Squarespace.
Do Squarespace. Thanks, Squarespace.
Thank you. I'm brought to you by the all-new 2015 Kia Optima. Drive ahead.
With a gerbil.
With the gerbil. Is that the ones with the gerbil?
The hamster or
I should
shit.
Know. They're sponsoring this shit.
It's Richard Gere's favorite car. Guys.
Stick your hand down someone's pants for me.
Yeah, there you go.
Whatever.
We did have some Twitter Q&As.
Did we?
Yeah. Do you want to do the theme song for that?
Twitter Q&As. I make up a new song every time.
Twitter Q&As. We make up a new song this time too.
Yeah.
I love
I really
that Tara's
in
getting into the
I
song.
I'm in on it.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Actually, Tara, we're going to schedule a session with you right after this where you sing all of our segment theme songs.
And we'll just play those back every time.
That'll be our soundboard. We had two that were, we had a few today, but we had two that were specific to the episode. At Rainmaker Roxy tweets in, says, how big do you think the Stars Hollow police force actually is?
They have no policemen.
Have you ever seen one cop?
No.
In this show?
Everyone will break a law, and that's fine.
Yeah.
And what is Taylor? He's the mayor?
Basically. I mean, because the mayor's done. That's interesting, because they did introduce the mayor as played by Big Lebowski guy.
Yeah.
Whatever his name is, I totally forgot.
Jeffrey Lebowski.
And now he's gone. I mean, he's not dead.
He came into the town to present, like, at the festival.
Jeff
and then
Bridges
left.
Played
no,
the... Oh.
It was the guy who's actually the Big Lebowski in Big
right.
Lebowski. I forget his name, but he's a character actor. You've seen him in everything.
Okay.
But yeah, his last scene was, yeah, my wife's having an affair or something. Yeah, something at the Firelight Festival where he's like, yeah, my wife couldn't make it. But no, Taylor's not the mayor. He's pretty much the self he is the mayoral role
he,
on this show
gotcha.
For sure.
Yeah, he's the town...
head townie.
Head townie, for
right.
sure.
Okay.
I hate him because of his role as head townie.
Yeah.
But like, I love that character. And when he's walking the old woman across the street,
mm-hmm.
and when they pan out after the scene is done, she's not even halfway across, I laughed so hard. Because I imagine that the walk sign yeah. on that thing is like 4 minutes
no,
long.
That's what he
that was
said,
a good gag.
It's timed for her
yeah.
to,
for
cross,
that woman.
To be able to cross the street.
That was
which
a
is
funny
why
gag.
At the end they're just sitting at it forever,
yeah.
right? Because it's timed for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
I think Michael
funny.
Winters is perfect. He plays Taylor. I think he's perfectly cast. Taylor what, Demi? What's his last name? Say it.
Say Dosey.
It. Yes.
Dosey.
Taylor
it's,
Dosey.
Okay, so the name is spelled D-O-O-S-E, which you would think Dosey, right?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, of course.
Wrong.
But it's Dosey,
but
and I don't know why, and
wrong.
I hate it. The scenes of Kirk showing off his photography.
That's
oh,
right.
Oh, boy.
Where he's like... Oh, no, I'm wearing a Speedo. It's just flesh colored. And then he leaves and they're like, no, it was. It's his dick, man.
Here's the. And how do you confuse that? Unless he's like doing a Brazil. Like, I truly didn't understand that. I couldn't make heads or tails.
I like that he included the V-Day photo in there.
Yeah.
That was really funny.
And then he couldn't take the lens cap off his skin. All of Kirk is great.
Yeah. And he does end up having a lot more. No spoilers, but he does have a lot more naked humor on the show. in episodes to come.
That's his thing, nudist? You guys. He's kinda. The naked guy. He's
yeah.
The naked guy.
He's the naked guy.
He's like the ugly naked guy.
Every
show.
Town has one.
Another every town's reference. Got a naked guy.
Yeah. Who's LA's ugly naked guy?
It's me.
Oh, dude.
I'm recording this podcast naked.
Yeah, full disclosure.
That's why it's all so cute. Didn't I say that earlier?
It's because Demi and I are both naked.
Fashion.
Oh, the fashion report. Make it a comeback.
Yeah, we don't want to get our own fashion report, so we just don't wear anything.
Yeah, that's right. The other Twitter Q&A, Twitter Q for us, say, was at @savvy_C. Sure, whatever. Sorry. That was very dismissive. Well, I didn't know how to pronounce it. I'm saying whatever to my own pronunciation.
Yeah.
She said, don't you think the way Lorelai handled breaking up with Max was irresponsible and immature?
Yes. I hated it.
Yes.
Everything she does is irresponsible and immature.
I don't know if I missed everything. It, but did she tell Max that she's not in anymore?
She did it over the phone.
Did she? No. I felt like she did it over the phone.
I mean, in this episode, no.
You didn't see it.
It kind of seems like she was just like, I got to get out of here. I got to go.
But they didn't even say, like, she didn't even say, oh, I called Max.
I was so mad about that. I was really frustrated.
And spoiler for the next episode, but there's no phone call with him in that either. Nope. So she
but
just
if
up
he
and
proposed over the phone. Maybe she dumped him over the phone.
I would love to see that scene.
That would be equal retribution.
Yeah, that's right.
I would love to see that scene, him going, you dump me over the phone? You stop our engagement over the phone? It's like, well, that's how it started.
Well, it was implied, I felt like. They didn't, you know, they're done with Max.
I did think it was implied.
The same way they're done with the Big Lebowski. It's just done. You don't see it again.
Yeah. I did think it was implied, but I thought it was a weird choice to not show it.
But it's not important.
Like...
What she does with Max isn't important. It's how she tells Rory. That's right. It's all about her and Rory, right? Right? So it's in keeping with what matters in the show, which is her and Rory. Yeah. Doesn't matter if she breaks up with Max.
It just felt like a weird move for her to do what seemed like running away. And like,
it's definitely running away.
Yeah, but if we don't see her say, Max, it's over, then it feels like she didn't tell him at all, even though it's implied.
Mm-hmm.
But regardless.
That's funny. That didn't bother me at all. I was like, oh, of course she broke up with him.
That's interesting. Well, I guess it was... Well, we'll get to it in the next episode about how she disseminates the information through Patty. tells Sugi to tell Miss Patty.
Which is so... It's kind of funny, but also just like... I imagine Miss Patty being like, oh, I can't tell anyone that. That's so terrible to hear.
Yeah, right?
And it's like, oh, no one knows.
Yeah, I can't wait to talk about the next episode.
Yeah.
That, and I wonder, like, is the scene... Because I think we all agreed, like, they don't have chemistry. They don't seem right for each other. He's making good points. Oh, also about that fight where he's like, oh, what's my role? And then she kisses him and he says, really not fair. Again, how much of their like relational give and take is based on sex?
I don't know.
Didn't that seem like a teeny, but like it just seemed like a young person's thing?
It seems like there should have been
I'm
a laugh
25, whatever. But it just seemed like a weird high school move. I don't know. Like, oh, don't tempt
but
me.
But the whole
with
thing
your
was
vagina.
That, like, oh, you're going to sleep over.
Yeah, I guess so.
When he falls asleep on the couch and then walks upstairs, and then Lorelai looks back at Rory, like, is this weird? And she's like, no, just go upstairs. Like, what the fuck?
Well, and then that's played out when she's like, there's a boy in my room. Isn't it weird? And she's like, no, it's your fiance. What are you talking
get
about?
Get over it,
how
woman.
How do you think I was made? Go away.
Yeah, not a lot of good moments for Lorelai in this episode.
Really not. This is an episode where Lorelai is like made to look bad.
Yeah, which, I mean, she's shown.
Of what?
Shown.
She's shown.
Has shown? Shown is?
In the past with like moments... Usually pertaining to how she deals with Rory and how she deals with the business or Sugi or whatever.
Right.
But when it comes
does
to her own
stuff.
Does
she own an inn or something?
She runs the inn as a manager. She doesn't own it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which I don't know how she got to that point because wasn't she sleeping in the back at one point?
I could see that. That makes sense to me.
She just worked her way up the ladder.
You sneak into the shed.
Right.
of a Holiday Inn.
The current manager goes, you there, what's your name? How would you like a job? And you just work your way up from
there. Yeah, I'll take you to the top.
And Melissa McCarthy is the chef.
She's the chef. Yeah. She's wonderful.
Who is the Indian guy?
That is Michelle.
And is he not Indian? Was that
he's
totally
not,
racist?
But the thing is we have
we've talked so much about
running
it.
Literally every episode, running discussion about whether or not he's black. He is black, but does he represent Because there's no other black people in this show.
And he has a very thick accent of some kind.
A French accent.
Oh, he's mm-hmm. French.
Ennui.
Ennui.
I thought he was so funny.
This girl slangs
I did. He had his only positive line ever in this. I made a special note of it.
I have to groove.
wait, what is the line?
I have to groove. It's Saturday night.
Well, is he gay?
He's not gay. No, because he's like, oh, the ladies must see me. Right? He even said the ladies in this episode.
Right.
But there was that line. Shit, what was it? Oh, he said like, oh, it is wonderful to be. It's wonderful. It's he's wonderful German now. To be in love is what he said. And it's the first positive thing he's ever said on the show.
He's crazy negative and like hates everybody. Yeah.
But he invites himself along to her bachelorette party.
Which I thought was not a real... It didn't feel like a real thing he would do because he actively does not go to anything they invite him to. Yeah.
I think it's supposed to be like, well, but deep down, he really does love her. Yeah. Like, I think it was supposed to be one of those things. I did find it funny, too, that he invites himself, kind of, and then he invites Emily, which lends credence to our theory that they're having an affair.
Do you think he was just there to give you some reaction to the drag queens?
Probably.
But he didn't seem particularly... I mean, there was that one scene, but...
He says something.
I don't know. He's not into it, but then later when he's like, they were really nice guys, right? It's like, okay, he came around.
Yeah, I guess so. So I guess that was like, that was the teachable moment in this episode. There's always one. But when Luke and Lorelai are talking outside the house with the hoopla, and she has this like zombie cadence in this scene. He says things like, if you I was shitting on marriage before, but if you find the right person,
right.
And she's like, yeah, the right person. And he's like, well, you only get married once. Yeah, you only get married.
Well, because she's realizing
twice.
She's realizing she's not going to marry Max.
That's the moment.
She's like, oh yeah, the right person.
But
I haven't found that yet.
Yeah, and they don't.
I would love for there to
chemistry.
Just be like, oh, look, mistletoe.
Well, just the way that scene ends with them standing under that hoopah. And it just
I know that shot.
It was like, I was like, oh, thank God I was right.
Wink, wink, wink.
Yeah.
Because he's like, they're each other's opposites. So they're the people, will they, won't they, right? Like that's
the complimentary.
The big, where he's all uptight and grouchy and she's a free spirit mm-hmm. who loves things. And, so they have that complimentary. But then he does something really nice for her.
Very nice.
But he doesn't try to stop her wedding. So he's not into her yet, I guess.
He doesn't. It's not in his character, I don't think, to stop stop her wedding. He wouldn't be that brash.
He doesn't have that much emotion.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Or he does, but it's just
I feel like
masculine,
he's the kind of
control
guy
way.
Who's just like, I'll pine for you, and I know you're going to break up with him, and I'll just wait here. Even if the wedding is like a success and they're married for 5 years, they'll just be like, one day you're going to get mad and I'll be here.
Isn't he also like, I don't care. I don't need anybody. Marry him. I'll be alone
a little bit.
Forever.
Did you like Luke?
I did.
As a character? Cool.
Yeah.
Some people don't.
I liked him.
I mean,
he was
grumpy in a really ridiculous way.
He is comically grumpy. I loved him at the unveiling of the drag queen.
What did he throw at Taylor's head?
It was like a paper ball.
It's
or
weird.
Just also the... I don't know if I can put aside blueberry pancakes for you. Like, they can't, he can't let them order, but then wait so that their food all comes out of it. It was like the amount of big deal that moment was so funny. And then later when he's like, I set him aside.
Yeah, everyone was exacerbating it in each other. Everyone was just piling
But it turns out he's a sweetheart because you're like, I already set him aside.
He's a sweetheart, but he like hates people knowing that.
Yeah.
I think that's about right.
He's going to have a heart of gold by the end.
He's a gruff dude with a heart of gold.
By season 7, he'll be voting for Obama.
Well,
just wait.
Actually, funny story. I won't spoil it. But, let's do this. Because do you think you'll watch the show?
I don't know.
After this? Do you think you'll ever like...
Because relationship continues.
You know, after talking about it so much, I'm curious. Like, mm-hmm. I would love if someone just tells me everything that happens. But aside from that, I could watch the show. I don't know when in my life with an 8-month-old baby I will
That's
have time
true.
To sit down and watch the show.
She doesn't enjoy 1-hour dramas.
Introduce
she
to
can't
them.
Watch TV.
Oh, bummer.
She's not allowed to watch TV, you guys.
Fair enough.
Oh, is that like a bad influence on...
Yeah, it like is bad for a baby's brains to watch TV.
Oh, that's interesting.
Whoops, mom and dad.
It's another thing us two dumb dudes didn't know.
Wait, you can't put a baby in front of a TV forever?
A lot of people probably don't know that who don't have kids.
All right, well, special PSA from Tara Copeland.
You guys, no screen time before 2. The American Academy of Pediatrics recommends.
Screen time either way for all you stage moms out there. Don't put them on camera before they're 2. Right? Right? Anyway, we saw what happened to Lindsay Lohan. I actually like the last scene. I don't like what Lorelai did, but Lauren Graham is such a good crier.
She is.
I always feel for her when she does, regardless of how justified she is.
I think it was
is.
Rory's reaction, especially of her going like, oh, okay, let's go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was nice when she was like, we're going. Wait, no, we're not. You're getting married. Aren't you getting married? No. Fine, we're going. Like, yeah. It was like, okay, I'm going to support this bad
poor
decision.
Rory.
Poor Rory.
Poor
yeah.
Rory. Yeah. She's just poor Rory. She needs a little more Emily in her life.
We all do, in my opinion.
Actually, Rory is Emily a little bit.
Oh, you think so? How so?
Just that she's like the voice of reason. But I don't know if Emily's the voice of reason. She's mean, right?
She's a little...
Emily...
She's not mean. I don't think so.
She is mean, I think. No, you know what? She started out mean, but we're kind of getting the gist that it only seems mean because it's around Lorelai.
Especially in these 2 episodes that we're doing this week. Like, she is very... She's become pretty grounded. There hasn't been any, like,
but
out of control.
But she's disapproving of Lorelai. She does, yeah.
In the general, just old grudges and shit, yeah. So, I guess let's rate the app, guys. What do we give it? So we
what
come
are
up
our
with
choices?
A,
can it be like just a made up thing, like teddy bear?
That's absolutely. You are so in tune to this show. It's crazy.
We make up a rating. We choose something from the episode
individually.
Like, so it'll be like Lord Byron to Mussolini.
Yeah, ooh. 3 out of 5 Lord Byrons or something. Yeah.
I like the idea of a scale. Like on a scale of Lord Byron to Mussolini.
Oh, we could rate it like they're rating the cakes.
Ooh, how are they rating the cakes? Do they have a system? Know.
I only remember cake is the glue of the wedding.
Which, if that's the glue of your wedding.
Yeah, bad
glue.
Ooh,
let's rate it based on members of NSYNC.
All right. I give this a JC Chazet and a Joey Fatone.
Just 2?
Oh,
Joey Fatone
the best
was
2.
My favorite. No,
2 out of 5 members of NSYNC.
No, I really like this episode, though, because of the Max stuff. So I'm going to give this episode 4 out of 5 hoopas.
The Max stuff.
The Max stuff of seeing Max as the straight man and realizing that everyone around him is
mental.
That they're crazy, but you have to love their crazy.
Yeah, if you want to be
But
a
you know
of
it
the...
doesn't matter because he was willing to love their crazy and she couldn't, but and she didn't.
I just loved seeing him in that situation and realizing, like, they put it all out on the table when Dean was like, here are the rules. It was kind of like we're playing a game and Max is jumping in the middle. And someone had to slow down and be like, no, you don't understand what you're getting into. And it's still, like, the people in the game are like, no, this is not going to work, which is... I thought it was a very...
Yeah, wouldn't it have been nice if Max was the one who was like, you know what, I can't play this game with you.
Right. But then I think we would have hated Max.
Yeah, we can't hate Max.
Yeah.
Because he's so important.
Is he ever going to come back ever?
I don't
probably
think so.
Not. Maybe.
I don't know.
Season 7.
Oh, he's coming back.
He's
so bad at Poker Face.
David Pacino, we love you.
I rate this a town with 2 stoplights.
Ooh, 2 stoplights out of 5?
2 out of 5 stoplights.
Oh, I don't know. Just a town with only 2 stoplights. Does the town need more? Does it need less? I leave that up to you to decide.
Ooh, I like this rating system.
Very ambiguous.
It's like a poem.
Right.
I have nothing to compare it to.
That's true. That's kind of the best.
That's fair.
I love that. I enjoyed it throughout, and I loved certain moments of chemistry with her. Her and Christopher had, I think... They have a lot of chemistry. Old Rory's dad on the phone.
Yes. Well, that really threw me for a loop. I really was like, oh, maybe she's not going to end up with Luke because she called this guy when everyone was talking about calling the person they love.
That's her first phone call.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, maybe she'll. But I didn't know that was the dad yet until the next scene when she was like, you called dad.
Oh, your dad. Yeah.
Yeah.
Gotcha. When do you think, if you had to predict, I need to give my rating. I give it, I'm going to give it 3 out of 5.
Nice chicken.
It made a reappearance.
What was that?
It's a 3 out of 5.
Nice chicken.
Nice chickens?
Nice chicken.
Which is not from this episode.
In
I just wanted to play
a first season episode, Dean walks into Rory's room for the first time and sees a little stuffed chicken, just goes,
nice chicken.
And he's been playing that ever since.
Love it.
It's such a great clip, but also the chicken makes a reappearance. And
oh, he does in this episode, yeah. Doesn't he? Oh, then you
a
know
cameo.
What? I do give it, just to restate and to recap.
What do you
I give it? 3 out of 5.
Nice chicken.
I love that you add the z on the end.
just to be sure.
Nice chickens.
So, okay. Well, I guess that's it. I guess we're done.
I think so.
Forever.
So sad.
Yeah. If
you were going to ask a question, and then you'd forget
it. Yes. If you were to predict,
yeah,
because you're not spoiled, right?
Even at all. I haven't even seen a scene from this show. Like, it's not like I'm like, oh, I know that at one point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you had to guess, I'm not saying they do, and I'm not saying if they do win. When do you think Luke and Lorelai get together? Let's have your prediction on that. We should have all the guests predict that.
Yeah.
Like out of 7 seasons, what season
out
do they get
together? Out of 7 seasons, in all the episodes, a finale, a sweeps week.
Season four.
Your prediction is season 4.
Yeah.
That's a few more than you said.
I don't even remember what I said.
You said season 2 finale.
I think so.
Okay.
I think it's a finale.
No. This is the third. She's just ended an engagement.
Yeah, but it's like episode 4. They're like... Done. 15 episodes ago, I don't know. I feel like she'll be in another relationship by the end of the season.
So that's what shocked me. Oh, yeah, she's going to go through a lot of relationships before she ends up with Luke.
I think they'll kiss. The faces you are doing. I think they'll kiss, and then it'll be like, that was weird for like 3 seasons, and then it'll be like, why don't we make this, we'll try to make this work or something.
we'll try to make this work.
They'll get together, they'll break up, they might get back together. Why are you crossing your arms like you're going to give something away with your hands?
I'm not. Oh, does it look like I'm trying to hold my hands?
It looks like you're trying to hold yourself together.
I mean, I am at all times like, in my life.
The answer to this is about to burst out of you. So here's the other thing. When I thought, oh, maybe I might watch more than one episode, and I was scrolling through on Netflix season 1 to get to season 2, there were 23 episodes in season 1?
There was, in season 1, there's 21.
21 episodes.
Yeah.
I could not.
There are 22
episode seasons. That means I would have had to sit through 24 hours this show before I could come on the podcast. So that wasn't an option for me.
Less without commercials.
it's really only like 22 hours.
It just wasn't an option for me in my life right now.
No, but
it doesn't mean I couldn't sort of sneak my way through a few and just see how it goes. I could just start from right here and not go back to season 1.
I'm trying to think if there's anything.
I suggest that, honestly.
Someone told me that season 2 was one of the worst seasons.
Someone told me season 3 was the best.
Season 2?
Three.
Three's great. Well, I mean, this is no spoiler, but Rory goes to college. So a lot in season 4, because she's on track to do that anyway.
Yeah.
But so the whole dynamic of the show kind of changes.
But season 7 is like season 6 of Buffy, which is like, or season 7 of Buffy. The last season of Buffy is pretty crap too.
Yeah. It's
really
bad.
We should do a Buffy podcast.
Yeah, well, you, me, and Ben Seaman, because that's his favorite show.
Buffy Bros.
Buffy Bros, bro. All my Buffy heads out there. Chelsea special. but I actually like this show a lot more than... You might find this interesting.
Yeah.
But Amy Sherman Palladino said that she would write episodes of this show while watching Buffy. Like, have it on as background noise and have it be kind of like inspiration, blah, blah, blah.
I think that the thing is that, like... It does. I feel like what it's missing for me is more of a sense of humor, this show. It's so a little bit earnest. And some of the moments that are supposed to be funny didn't fly for me as much as, like, I think the whole Michelle thing was supposed to be funny, but I felt more confused by him than
yeah.
amused by him.
If this was your introduction to him, and it's this kind of slightly effeminate man who's well-dressed and then goes into a... Yeah, that would be a confusing intro.
But that is interesting because it, you know, Buffy has that too, that sort of quippy way of talking to each other.
To me, to a fault, because I watched all 7 seasons of Buffy too, I love the storytelling on Buffy and what they did, but a lot of it is rough. to me, the way Ben Seaman described, like, on this show, like, everyone talks like an alien. And on Buffy, they would say something real. I feel the reverse way.
Oh, I feel Buffy. I feel the reverse of you. Mm. And Buffy is at least a fantasy show, and this is supposed to be real people in a real town.
Yeah.
But isn't every TV show a fantasy in a way?
No.
All right.
No, some of them are reality good. Television
no,
shows.
No, it's not. The
some
end.
Are documentaries.
Wow, very definitive answer from Tara. Well,
and thank you for listening.
Asked and answered.
Well, that comes to the conclusion of the entire
the
series.
And do we sing at the end?
We do.
We do. But before we do that, Tara, do you have anything to plug? Where can people find you on Twitter or Instagram?
I'm Tara_Copeland on Twitter. Okay. I almost never tweet because I don't understand it.
You don't understand Twitter?
It's like talking, but tiny.
It overwhelms me because I feel like you could just do it all day long.
No, there's not people that do that.
There are.
Oh, is it you?
No.
Well, if there's a Twitter superstar in the room.
I like...
it's you, Kevin T. Porter.
That's not true.
So that's my Twitter. I like... I do a show at the UCB Sunset Stage at 7 p.m. every Thursday.
Magic to do,
a fully improvised musical.
And I've seen this. I'm a testimonial. The show is amazing.
It's a fun group of people, yes. And we are having a lot of fun getting to know each other, and the show is funny. Yeah.
Boom.
And I teach musical improv classes, and if you want to learn musical improv, if that sounds fun to you, shoot me an email at taraimprovclasses@gmail.com.
Mm.
That's the best way.
All right, we might need a few.
You guys, Demi's gonna cut. Totally.
We might need a few.
I need to learn how to freestyle rap.
So do I. Well, we freestyle rap. We freestyle rap everyone who, all the names of the people who give us good reviews on iTunes.
Oh,
that's
nice.
Our promise.
Is that what's happening now?
No.
No, we'll do that in the next episode.
We got to save that.
Well, we don't have a legit guest in there.
It's something of a train wreck.
Yeah. Yeah, a beautiful train wreck. Well, you can find me at Kevin T. Porter on Twitter and Instagram. I love the grams.
You can hit me up on MySpace at CinnabonFan77.
Why 77?
Because there 75, were 76 others.
Yeah, 76 taken. No, but you can hit me up on Twitter at @ElectroLemon.
ElectroLemon.
ElectroLemon.
And on the grams as well.
Also on the grams. I'm on everything as ElectroLemon.
Kevin has a very funny bit that goes on the Instagram where his...
Oh, the Kevin...
So funny.
Oh, we should do that today.
I know, I love it.
I should have Demi take a picture.
I'll do it.
I have a hashtag called Kevin Love Friends where it's just me... Like, stoked out of my mind and with my arm around someone, and they look like they want to die.
Right.
And never speak to me again.
It's so funny.
So that's fun. It's people, I love doing that.
And then he writes like a huge thing about
how much they mean to him. Yeah.
And the thing is, I mean, people get weirded out by it because it's like, is this true? And I'm like, yeah. And it's like, but you asked me to.
Yeah.
So it's a very emotionally confusing journey that you can go on.
It's good.
Hashtag Kevin Love Friends. You can follow the show on Twitter. @ Gilmore Guys Show and write into us for some Gilmail Guys action.
Email Gilmore.
GilmoreGuysShow@gmail.com. We're also on Facebook, facebook.com/GilmoreGuysShow. Also, we haven't talked about this on the show, but we're on Instagram, but it's 100%.
It's not us.
It's not us.
Someone created an Instagram for us. And are they updating it? What's the deal?
Yeah. I mean, sporadically. And it's like, that's very nice. Thank you. And they haven't done anything out of control.
Right, no.
What is it, Gilmore Guys Show?
It's just @ Gilmore Guys on Instagram.
And you don't know who it is?
No.
No idea.
We have no clue.
A mystery.
But they're nice. And the thing is, there's like 60 followers.
They haven't done anything malicious. So
it's fine.
This is great.
Thank you.
But you have no control over
what
goes.
But we have no control. So it's kind of like nervous when it's like we're trying to control all this other branding, and then it's like there's this one outlier where it's
fan.
Like, what if they like post 9/11 was an inside job? Look at the steal or something.
We just got to be like, oh, nope, that's not us.
We don't believe that. So I guess in short, thank you. And also, shoot us an email if you want to, I don't know.
Yeah,
like,
meet us in an alley somewhere. Meet us at the train tracks.
Maybe they could give you the password so you could post photos to it also.
Oh, that would be preferable. So
we'll figure it out.
Whoever that is.
Can you share an Instagram with someone?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you can share a login. Yeah. I think.
Probably.
We'll find out. So, Tara, thank you so much for doing the show.
Thanks for having me. This was bizarrely thrilling.
that's bizarrely. The Gilmore Guys promise.
Oh, it's about to get even more bizarre.
Bizarrely thrilling. How well do you know the theme song?
That you've heard one time.
La, la, la. That one?
Nope.
La, la, la.
The Carole King Gil, la, la, la. Theme song.
Oh, is it You Just Call Out My Name? What is it?
Oh, the close. That's yes. Another Carole King song.
Is it?
Hopefully we'll have
if
there's a lot of songs about Kong names.
Play it, I know it because I remember thinking interesting.
Yeah, it's one of the greatest songs of all time. By the
probably
way,
the number one.
It's a real song, right?
It's a real song. Yeah. Yeah, it's from her hit album Tapestry.
Yeah, I know this song, but I can't think of what it was.
By the way, do you think we can get her on
Carole
the
show?
King? Mm-hmm.
Let's pull some strings.
How many episodes are there? Because you want so many people
there
on the show.
153.
Oh, okay. You could get it. You could get
it. I want every crew member from the show. I want PAs. I want grips. I want extras who had to spill coffee on someone on the show.
Coffee, coffee, coffee.
Coffee.
Because we just confirmed, we won't say who, but we just confirmed our first person who worked on the show to do an
Why
interview
won't
with
you
us.
Say
next.
Who?
Just so. Yeah,
it, don't you want to get the buzz?
Wait,
should we say it and bleep
don't
it out?
Don't you want to get the buzz about getting to hear this person? Or you want people to listen?
It's a fun tease.
I'm
too.
Worried because of how often we've promised Alexis Bledel and Tom Hanks that people be like,
"Was Tom Hanks on the show? Why do you keep promising Tom?"
Because Tom Hanks told us
gilly.
He was gonna come on the
he
show.
He texted me.
Yeah,
he emailed
has
me.
Your phone
I saw him in a bathroom one time. I was like, "Tom, I do a podcast."
Hey, speaking
He's like,
of
ah,
big,
I
do a podcast.
Yeah, speaking of big. Speaking of the terminal.
But okay, we'll say it and we'll bleep it out.
You could just tell me after it's over.
Okay.
That also works.
That's also true. All right, let's sing the theme song that we all know if you're out on the road.
Maybe I don't know this.
Feeling lonely and so cold. Da, 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 da. All you have to do is call my name and I'll be there. On the next train, choo-choo, where you lead, I will follow anywhere that you tell me to. If you need,
yeah, there she is.
You need me to be with you, I will follow,
oh, oh,
oh, where you
lead,
I will follow anywhere that you tell me to. You're a lie. You need to grow up, yeah. You're a woman child. Grow the F up.
Goodbye, Max.
Rest in peace, Max.
R.I.P.